Well, this is one Sunday in which it's really hard to deliver a sermon on stewardship and financial giving, especially in the difficult economic times that we live in and the uncertainty and the necessity that we all have to support those who deal with unemployment and other issues of, you know, that are work-related that make it hard to even support a family, especially in this area. But at the same time that this can be a very difficult day, this can also be an awe-inspiring day to see how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and in our lives to provide for us, to see where the generosity pours out of. Stewardship is not only about our financial giving, but indeed it covers all of our witness, the way that we worship and study together, and the way that we serve God in mission together. And so stewardship covers it really defines our witness as Christians, who we are, and how we respond to our giving God, that everything originates in the source that is God. God's giving to us is what provides all that we have and all that we need. And so it's a day in which we can watch the Holy Spirit move through our lives in response to the request of a congregation and a church to ask for faithfulness and financial giving. It really needs to be said that when we give to God. It's not about giving to support an institution. It's about giving to God and allowing God to use a portion of our gifts to help support and advance the gospel in our world. One of the amazing things about attending annual conference in Virginia is that almost every year there is some kind of issue that gets raised during our conference that's out of the ordinary. One year when malaria was at its height and they had just begun the program of buying the nets to help prevent malaria overseas, they did a spontaneous offering for that. One year, the clergy in Africa were suffering greatly because they did not have the same kind of pension plan that we have here. And so we took a spontaneous offering for that. And at annual conference, you have the opportunity to watch 4,000, 5,000 people all move at the same time. And they will interrupt the process of our meeting to take up an offering for something that is especially on the hearts of the church during that week. And it's an amazing thing. It takes, you know, 20, 25 minutes, and you just watch people walking to the altar and laying money down and trying to help support some of these issues that are important in our world. And so it's really a visible witness of the Holy Spirit's action. It's not planned. It's not something that is intended. It just happens. It comes from a request on the floor. It doesn't come from the bishop or the cabinet or anyone else. It's an amazing thing to watch. It really is a gift to watch. And so I invite you to open your eyes to maybe how that might be a visible witness here in our midst today as well. I want to share this story about an artist. You know I love art, and you know how much I believe that the artist's life and the spiritual life are so woven together, that God creates artists to offer incredible gifts so that we can further understand who God is in our world today. Well, Lorenzo Ghiberti, does anyone know who he was? He was an Italian designer. He was a sculptor and an architect, and he gained prominence in the 13th century. There was a competition that he won in which he was enabled the opportunity to create a set of bronze doors for the Florence Baptistry. So these doors were intended to match doors that had been made 75 years earlier by a different artist. And so he was commissioned and to do the next set of doors. And so he set to work on them. He began them in 1403. And he completed 28 Old Testament scenes in bronze sculpture on these doors. They included the sacrifice of Isaac, Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, beautiful, beautiful scenes on these doors. He finished the work in 1424. That's 21 years of work. Imagine the attention that he had to pay to every detail, the cracks and the crevices of all the sculpture on those doors, the faces, the arms and legs of each biblical character. Surely Ghiberti worked at these images, perfecting them many times before he came up with the final product. As soon as this set of doors were done and in place, Ghiberti was commissioned again to produce the last set of doors. This was for the last remaining doorway of the Florence Baptistry. And the second set of doors are what we know now as the Gates of Paradise. If you've never seen them, Google them. They're wonderful to see. They were completed in 1452. Okay, for those of you who are counting, that's 49 years that Ghiberti dedicated and focused on these church doors alone. Through that entire time, Ghiberti had to change his lifestyle. He was under constant pressure. He was open to all kinds of criticism. That commitment cost him. His life represents good stewardship. He did all that he could with the gifts that were given him. You know, it's rare to find that kind of commitment today. Rebecca and Jairo, I ask you, 49 years, are you ready? 49 years to change your lifestyle. 49 years because of a commitment. 49 years to give all your time and your energy. 49 years in which you're open to criticism. 49 years of constant pressure. 49 years of faith in God alone. Faith in God alone. Well, we know the situation that the church is in today, and we heard at our charge conference that worship attendance across the board reflects that there's a lack of commitment in our church today. There are lots of things that compete for our attention. Family life used to center on the church, and now many other things come into focus. I really don't want to discourage those things that help us to participate and enjoy God's good creation, because I believe with every ounce of my soul that we are intended to go out and enjoy God's good creation. But we also really need to be sure that at least for 1 hour every week we have a place to put our spiritual lives. We can't be whole people, physical and emotional and spiritually whole, if we don't attend to that spiritual need. Growing in a faith community, as you know, is a unique opportunity. It's a unique opportunity to grow in relationship with other people. And it takes a lot of patience. It's unequal at the same time to any other relationships that you will build with anyone anywhere else. There is something unique about engaging with one another over the love of Jesus Christ alone and watching the Holy Spirit at work as we make commitments and as we allow our faith to become the one thing that motivates the expression of who we are. Many don't want to be a part of a Christian faith community today because they hear constantly how exclusive and judgmental Christians can be. So I ask you, what makes you want to be part of a faith community? What makes you want to be part of this community? I hope that you will say that you are here because you believe in Jesus Christ and that you want to learn and to grow with others who believe. We are not a church that has some kind of goods and services to be purchased. We're not consumers here. We are believers in one God, being transformed by Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Scripture is primary in this church. Scripture is what leads and guides and shapes our lives. It convicts us and it blesses us. We know about God's grace, the amazing love that God has for us through our scriptures, and it is primary here. And we use scripture so that we can be informed and reborn into new understandings of God's love. What we read one day, 10 years later, might mean something else and deliver us into a new understanding of God's love. And that is the beauty of growing in the truth of the scriptures. The church is better than some kind of social club. The church is a place where all are welcomed into the fellowship of Christ. And most of us know that everyone that walks through these doors is broken. Everyone that walks through these doors has a need to be healed and made whole in Christ. Everyone who walks in through these doors recognizes that everything is not right in their lives and they need something more. And we are part, we are called to be part of that life-giving body. We are called to encourage and love one another, to be healed in this fellowship. So stewardship is really about giving ourselves, giving our hearts, like the prophet Jeremiah said, letting God be written on our hearts and in our minds, giving our hearts in response to our giving God. So as we conclude our stewardship process today, I invite you both to make a commitment to serve here. You'll see on the little page in your bulletin that there is an opportunity for you to write in the places where you think you're called to serve. And you're also invited to make a financial commitment. And let me be clear here. It is not our plan to spend all of our time and energy trying to support the institutional church as it is. We are here in our time and history to do the work of God to serve others in our community. Now, a little bit more about this letter from the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. This is my favorite letter. It is a letter that is so encouraging. The Apostle Paul wrote this amazing letter when he was in prison, okay? He was locked up in prison because of his commitment to the gospel. His commitment to the gospel cost him everything. It cost him his freedom. He was locked up so that he could continue serving God. In the first verse that we read today, Paul expresses this love that he has for the Philippian congregation. He says he yearns for them. He loves them so much that he yearns for them and he prays for them. And his prayer is that he wants them to grow in the depth of knowledge and understanding, the insight that they need to understand God's love and grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wants them to grow through commitment to worship and study and experience and action in their community. Paul goes on to say that what has happened to him, he's fine with. He's fine with it because what's happened to him has served to advance the gospel. Think about that. The next time you feel like you are locked up in a situation, you feel like there is nowhere for you to move, that in fact that very situation could be the one that helps release the gospel of God, the love of God into your heart and into your life and the lives of everyone around you. That's a really good news from the Apostle Paul today. Through Paul's commitment to God and his openness to the love of Christ and its transforming power. You know, we can be open to the love of God, but don't change me, right? We can be open to the love, but keep me where I am. Paul was open to being changed in whatever way God called for him. Generosity flowed out of his heart. His commitment to God is what led him to his commitment to the church, moved him to love and pray for the church's people. So the Apostle Paul made a big deal out of Jesus in his life, wouldn't you say? Amen? The Apostle Paul made a big deal out of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ was his priority, and in all of his circumstances, he was dedicated to Christ alone. So here's the thing. It costs us something to keep Jesus Christ as our priority. Yes, grace is free. Grace is undeserved. None of us deserve the gift of God's love that we get that pours out over us every day. We cannot earn God's love. It is totally unmerited. And yet, we receive God's grace every day. This grace didn't come easy. It cost God. Grace was extended to us at a cost. So to stand for Christ means that we change our lives. It means that we feel the constant pressure of what it is to keep God first every single day. Grace is not cheap because we act on our belief in Christ. And sometimes we are very open to criticism and rejection. The culture does not understand making a commitment to something that is not of this world. Did you hear me? The culture does not understand making a commitment to something that is not of this world. To receive Christ openly means that we open ourselves to all that the gospel stands for. We are a faith tradition where our love of God moves us to love our neighbors. So we began thinking about stewardship here at Wesley 2 weeks ago. And I thank you for the attention these last couple of weeks. I encourage you first, on the 28th of October, I encourage you to keep open to God in your prayer life, to intentionally open up your prayer life so that you might further receive the grace of God in your life, so that you might further attend to that love that you are held in each and every day. Stewardship is about where our heart gives priority to God. And last week, Reverend B. Miller reminded us what it means to be a cheerful giver. That it's not the amount that we give so much as our attitude. Today, I ask you to make a financial commitment. Not to Wesley Church alone, but a commitment to God. One that reveals your heart. One that reveals your trust in all that God is providing you. For those who are able, make a step up in your giving this year. Please, give God a chance to let you further trust in His love and grace. Please remember our online giving option, and if that is how you do your banking in the first place, it's very easy, and we've provided these cards in our pews that you may place in the plate on Sundays so that your active giving continues to be realized in worship. As you have seen on the commitment card, stewardship is also about how and where we serve, and so I invite you today to step out in faith and maybe try something new. Try serving in an area that you haven't served in before here at Wesley Church. The beauty of the church is that everyone can share No one's special talents go unused. God has a plan for each one of you to be here. And like the Apostle Paul, I want you to know, I have the same affection for you, Wesley Church. I have the same yearning and love for each of you here. I want you to abound with love. I want you, through knowledge and insight of who Christ is in your lives, to grow in the grace of understanding of this giving God that we worship. And the best way to grow in knowledge and insight is through faith in God alone. Faith in God alone. I ask you this morning to reconsider your commitment to Christ, for everything we do advances the gospel. Stephen Curtis Chapman is a contemporary Christian songwriter, and he wrote a song that begins like this. How could I stand here and watch the sunrise, follow the mountains where they touch the sky, ponder the vastness and the depths of the sea, and think for a moment the point of it all was to make much of me? 'Cause I'm just a whisper, and you are the thunder. I want to make much of you, Jesus. I want to make much of your love. I want to live today to give you praise that you alone are so worthy of. I want to make much of your mercy. I want to make much of your cross. I give you my life. Take it and let it be used to make much of you. Amen. We will play that song as you come to the altar. Please present your gifts on your commitment cards at the altar, and the altar railing is open if you would like to have some time in prayer. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you that you are a God who gives us all. We thank you for the life that we have inherited as your chosen people on this earth. And we thank you for the life that we have inherited through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May our commitment to you reveal our understanding and our insight of your love for us today. Amen.